It's your boy Sia SO.
And it's your boy J Omega SO on all the social media networks.
And as y'all can hear, Jay is a little tight right now.
God damn, man.
It's all my fault, man. I'm like Ron Burgundy, man. We was trying to do a drop for shout out to Cherry Poppins. She has a show on ESU Radio. So she just wanted us to do a drop. I just couldn't get right.
Simple drop. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy J Omega, and it's your boy Sia. Yeah, we are the Officially Street Podcast. You're now listening to Cherry Poppins at 90.3 WESS, the station where we like it when you turn us on.
You know how hard it was for me not to pause that at the end?
You know how many takes we took to do that drop?
Yeah, Jay was perfect every time.
Oh.
Not me.
My.
Because there was times where, like, I just didn't know how to do it. So I was just like, yeah, it's your boy, Sia. So you can follow me. I know. And Jay was like, no. There's no energy.
I damn near finished my drink fucking around with this fucking drop, man. The drop took 15 seconds. It was a 15-second drop, and it took us all of 14 minutes.
Hey, I apologize, man. I apologize.
Cherry, you better love that shit, because it ain't happening again. It may not. We don't have it in us.
It may not happen,
Sia, man. Don't have it in him to do another drop.
No. I had to do another drop for another radio personality, and it kind of went the same, but luckily I was by myself.
Anyway, guys, episode today is sponsored by Honey Jack. That's actually my favorite honey-flavored whiskey, Jack Daniel's honey. That's definitely good nourishment for your body, especially after the holidays.
I've had the wild turkey shit. And
Jack Daniel's is way better.
Yeah. No. It definitely is. I'm not saying, but.
Let us know what your favorite drink is, especially if it's a honey whiskey. Email us at officiallystreet@gmail.com. You know the Twitter.
That way. Oh, my, I was about to flame you. The Twitter is TOSpodcast_SO. I'm about to flame Jay. I was like, yo, you let him know whatever y'all drinking so he can rush out to the store and go cop it with his lush ass.
Oh, absolutely. Now I'm out there. I'm patiently waiting for Ciroc Apple to hit the fucking show.
I think that shit's in New York.
It's somewhere. It's somewhere because I see it on Snapchat. I see it on IG and I'm livid. And I told him to put me on whatever email thread or speed dial,
waiting list,
send me the coupons and the magazines. Cause when they get that shit, I'm there.
We went through that with all of the Ciroc's though, nigga. We had to wait damn near a month before that shit came up here.
We had a way. I was looking for Amaretto like nobody's business. And I don't even buy Amaretto. I had it once.
So did I.
It ain't even that serious. Yeah. It's good, but I mean, it's Amaretto.
Apple is going to be the truth. Yeah, it is. It is, man.
Anyway.
Right. So, Jay, how was your week, sir?
Man, listen. If you know me, you know I ain't do shit special. I went to work. I went to the gym. I've been eating Thanksgiving. I threw out my Thanksgiving leftovers, y'all. I had to. I had too much. Don't kill me. Don't string me up. I had to throw it.
It's a week.
We on the seventh day now, but there was too much. Like, if I was at a point where it was like, man, it's just a little bit left, I'd have let it go. Mm. I threw it out 2 days ago because my brother didn't take anything. My aunt didn't take anything. I gave as much food as I could to my mom's. There was way too much food. I got a whole tray of macaroni and cheese in the freezer, frozen.
God damn.
Am I going to eat it? No idea, but it's frozen just because it was too wasteful to throw out a fresh tray.
The baked joint?
Yeah, man. The baked mac and cheese, the way my grandmother made it. So, yeah, I can't. And it's not going to taste the same taking out of the freezer, but whatever. That's all I've been doing. I've been eating Thanksgiving food, getting fat, going to the gym, pretending like I'm working it off, but then going home and eating more Thanksgiving food. And, watching some shows, working on the podcast and trying to promote the podcast. Shout out to everybody that's been listening. Shout out to everybody that wrote a review. Y'all actually been slacking a little bit. Let me turn my phone off. I'm wilding.
That wasn't me.
No, that was me. Y'all been slacking a little bit, man. Y'all been listening, which I appreciate, but don't forget to leave them reviews, man. Yeah. Go if you're an Apple user, iTunes, iPad, I don't give a fuck if it's an iTouch. Please, please leave a review for the podcast, because that's the only way. You see, we hit the new and noteworthy section, top 10 of the podcast music genre. You see we're making a little bit of moves. That's because of y'all. Now, if y'all keep doing this, if y'all keep helping us, We're gonna get there, and it's all gonna be because of y'all. Be a part of something special.
Yeah, word.
Be a part of something great. You know what I mean? Help us.
And we'll
live
be able
our dreams.
To do more. You know what I mean? Like, they be doing live shows and all that shit. It'll be great to do
man.
Something like
y'all don't
that.
Wanna see us live? Come to your city and you know what I mean? Talk shit with y'all. Yo, listen, at the end of the day, y'all can believe in us, y'all can not. But you know what I mean? If you're listening, if you're at least listening, it don't take much more to go ahead and just leave a review. Yeah, That's all I'm saying.
Real quick, and if you listen on SoundCloud, go ahead, hit the likes, hit the heart, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Repost it. You know what I mean? Tell a friend. You know what I mean? Get more people to listen. But at the end of the day, we still appreciate everybody who's tuning in, man. Because, again, we're doing great numbers. It could be better, but we're doing great numbers, though.
It's going to get better. It's only going to get better. We're averaging about 100 listeners a week. Not a week, but each month, we've been averaging like 100 listeners, which is a good average if you ask me. We just taking off. We only like 15 episodes in. So I ain't mad. I just want the reviews. If we averaging 100 listeners per month, per week, then we should at least have half that in reviews. And right now we only got 22. So we need to change that. Okay. Anyway, Sayer, how was your week?
Well, you know, like Jay, I'm washed up. He doesn't want to admit it, but Jay's washed. Everybody, get on Twitter and let Jay know that he's washed.
Listen, man.
He keeps saying, I'm tumble dry right
Listen,
now.
Listen, man.
No, nigga, yeah. Dumb there.
I'm pre-wash. I'm pre-wash. I'm soaked. Pause. All right?
Good pause.
I'm just soaking, getting ready for the soap and the wash. You're like spin cycle.
Oh, yeah, no,
getting
no,
ready
no.
to be taken out and dry.
Oh, no, nigga. Right now, it's spinning. It's drying off a little bit and all that. No, nigga.
I'm kind of like, I'm right now, I'm just getting into it. Like, I'm delicate, like lightly soiled. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the cheapest selection on the public laundromat washing machine. Like, I'm lightly soiled, cold water. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that serious with me yet. I listen to you and I'm like, nah, there's no way.
Because I'm gonna sound washed right now.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. First of all,
my daughter to basketball practice.
Oh yeah, that too. Hey, she's still doing her thing. I gotta work on a few things. I'm doing better at like just sitting back like
No, you was on Snapchat acting a fool. Well, that was so sloppy. I'm like, yo, she is 10 years old, man.
Acting like she should be doing that, but I ain't say it to her. I vented on Snapchat. You know, and the day I was like, hey, baby, you know, good job. We got to go home and work on some things. But hey, you're getting there. You know what I mean?
We're on your left, baby. But you know what? You did all right tonight.
Hey, all right. Okay. And you know, then it was my other daughter's birthday on Monday. She's 5. I'm old as shit.
Shout out to all the 5-year-olds out there. If y'all listening, hit the heart.
Really?
Like it. Leave a review. I don't discriminate. 5 years old, whatever.
Yo, y'all better not be having your children listening to this shit when we talk about Charlie Sheen sucking niggas off and all this.
Hey,
shit.
Man, you know, it's
magic
just,
surviving. Nah, nigga, don't.
Hey, man, you know, we're in a day and age.
Be better parents.
We're in a day and age where, you know, the kid is in the back seat listening to Young Thug and Future.
And
the parents are in the front seat going ham.
And the kids
are in the back and they just straight knowing all the words.
Mumbling the
mumbles.
Yeah, actually accurate.
I'm
that
so accurate.
That does happen.
I know I'm accurate. So.
And then I be feeling bad. Like my daughters are like big fans of Nicki Minaj.
So
I play like certain songs. There's certain songs I'm like, nah, chill. You can't listen to that. But like even the songs they fuck with, like she'll say some shit and I'm like, ugh.
All of a sudden somebody pussy is on a mustache.
Yeah,
and you don't know where it went. You don't know where it happened.
And I just kind of like lean and look back at my daughter's like, don't recite that.
One
part.
Second
it's
like, amazing. Amazing. And then all
this
of a sudden
pussy is amazing.
Pussy on your chip tooth and it's like, ho. Like,
yeah.
And then your daughter knows, the words, and this next thing you know, you're having a parent-teacher conference, and you don't know how to explain yourself.
Nah, that's pretty much it. excuse me. And you know, just I gotta catch up on mad shows. But before we get into that, the last thing I want to know: did you scoop anything for Cyber Monday? Since we spoke about Black Friday,
I didn't scoop a damn thing for Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Thirsty Thursday. Hump Day Wednesday, Titty Tuesday. I ain't scooped nothing since Haagen-Dazs out the tub. Okay,
hey, did y'all get anything out there, man? I just picked up the only thing I picked up. I just needed a gray hoodie. I found a fire Ralph Lauren gray hoodie. That shit was originally like $140. And I was able to find that shit for like $45.
Oh, well, congrats to you.
So I picked that up, but that was about it. Nigga, it was on a card, nigga. Don't think that shit was not in my account.
Good for you, sir.
I dare you to look at my bank account right now. Nigga's gonna be like, are you okay?
Listen, I got paid today. Let me tell you what this wedding is doing to me, okay?
Oh, God, nigga.
I'm out here stressed to the point where...
With a K.
I was talking to you earlier, man. Like, I'm like wondering, like, man... What's going on? Like, I feel like I'm being raped by my job, man. They taking all my bread.
Nah, they definitely do. Especially like, when you do OT, nigga.
Yo, I'm not going to put it out there, like, how much I make and all of that. But just to put it in perspective, like, they taking whole separate paychecks.
out
of my paycheck. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people make decent money. Mm-hmm. All right, shout out to y'all. I'm going to tell you, they're taking all of your decent money that you're making out of my paycheck. So I'm left with what? You know what I mean? Like,
nigga, sometimes I look at my check and I'm like, whose family am I supporting out there?
Yo.
Because that's what the fuck you're taking
you
out of my account.
Oh, you could absolutely start a college fund with what they're taking out of my paycheck.
Trust me, I know.
Oh, my God. So no Cyber Monday or Black Friday for me. I'm out here like paying off wedding dresses and
I feel you. Like I said, I picked that up. I just needed a gray hoodie. I don't know what the fuck happened to mine. And then I just scooped like a $10 cardigan because I've been wanting a cardigan. That's about it. So like a good smooth $50, that's about it. One on a Macy's card, but you know.
Hey man, that's what's up, because I wanted to get some stuff. I went on Jack Threads. I went on, if y'all don't fuck with Jack Threads, y'all got to do that. Jack Threads is a dope site. I will tell you, the sizes...
I just get a sponsorship.
Jack Threads. We're really cheap these days. You can sponsor us for little to nothing.
Word, we're not picky.
And we'll promote you. As you can see, we're giving you the free plug as
we
speak.
The plug right now. But anyway.
Wild
pause.
Jack,
go ahead.
Jack Thread. Mm-hmm. Sia, you can't shop there because they do not have a 7XL. Okay, they don't have the bicep. They don't have They don't have the bicep diameters. Okay, for you.
I actually got something to say after that, but go ahead.
But you know, for those like me who are just normal size athletic, you know, normal athletic build, such as myself, you mm-hmm. know, the pot belly gut, one ab, but the broad shoulders, and the muscles, you can shop there, but. You're gonna see. I buy extra schmedium when I go to stores. I say, let me get the schmedium, and they don't. At first, they don't know what I'm talking about, but then I say it again, like, yo, I need the extra schmedium.
No, you tell them. They say, hey, I need my biceps to suffocate. That's the size that I need.
Yeah, and they get that. They get that. Mm-hmm. And then they bring me to the. You know what I mean? But this site, you have to go up like two sizes. So. If I wanted to buy something that's going to fit me like a medium, I have to buy an extra large.
Okay, so
that's just how they run.
There's no chance for me.
No, so Syed, you don't have a size.
No,
there's no size for you.
I won't be going there.
They stop.
We still appreciate the sponsorship if y'all doing it, but no, I can't.
Yeah, they stop at around 2X, so you're
SOL. Yeah, but if you're going up two sizes.
Yeah, you need about a 4 or 5 and a 7 in the bicep.
What I really want to say to you, I'm not going to do it to myself on this podcast.
Forget about pants for you. If you want to get pants, you may as well forget it, son. You may as well forget it.
As he said that, nigga looked directly at my pants like, no, there's no chance for you.
No, Sia's thigh muscle is like that of a fucking... I don't even know how to compare it.
Nigga,
Anyway, I went on some sites and I was looking and I'm like, damn, they got deals. But yeah, I can't do it right now. No. Anyway, we got off on a tangent. Let us know what y'all copped for Black Friday. I think we asked y'all already last week.
Monday. If y'all copped anything for Cyber Monday, let us know if we missed out on any deals. It doesn't matter because my pockets was hurting, and from what I hear for Jay, his pockets were hurting as well.
Empty. Hurt. Done.
It is what it is.
Yeah. But I fuck with Cyber Monday more than Black Friday anyway, because nobody don't want to be waiting online and all of that dumb shit. Motherfuckers.
I don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, people getting shot up and ran through and all wow. that shit. And it's yeah, pause. But I mean, really, they're getting trampled out there. It's a damn shame okay. for a fucking television. Motherfucker. But you know what? Here's my thing. You fucking trample somebody. Yeah. Like, literally, you punch them in the mouth. They hit the floor. You won and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You punch them in the mouth. You hit the floor. You go to pick up the TV. You think somebody's not right behind you to deck you back?
Deck you the fuck out.
You got to roll deep for Black Friday.
You seen that video? There's a little girl holding, like, I don't know, some kind of like slow cooker or whatever.
Yeah.
And this lady comes over like, bitch, if you don't give me that fucking slow. And you see the mom like try to smack it out of her hand and she like duffs the mom.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You just took that from a child.
Watch
man.
Out, little bitch. Stiff arm. Stiff arm. Watch out, little bitch.
Watch out, little bitch.
You getting mad.
What? I'm getting rich.
I'm getting TVs. I'm getting deals.
Word. That's pretty much what happened,
it's a
man.
Damn shame, man.
God damn it, man. Well, hey, hopefully y'all was safe. But, all right, let's get into this, man, because we've been going off about nothing for a good almost 16 minutes. There was a crazy cop, a cop shot some dude in San Francisco.
I think we heard about it this morning. I think there was a kid.
Thursday morning, excuse me.
Kid, about 20 years old, was gunned down. Severely gunned down in San Francisco. The article that I read here says a young man in his 20s was shot and killed by police today in San Francisco. Police were called to the scene after he allegedly stabbed someone earlier. Mm-hmm. Police said that they shot him with beanbags, but after he refused to drop the weapon, allegedly, it mm-hmm. was a knife, they shot him numerous times with actual bullets, killing him. Roommates. What the hell am I talking about? I got this from the
rumors?
Shade. I got no. I got this from the Shade Room.
Okay.
So they call their viewers roommates. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
What are your thoughts on this? What do you think? Could they have disarmed him? Could they have shot him in the leg? Maybe the arm or whatever. What do y'all think? So
Ron Burgundy ass nigga.
Oh, Ron. I read exactly what was on IG. But anyway.
I agree with that, man. Like these cops, they keep saying, oh, they fear for their life. And if he did have a knife, like, I understand, especially if he's walking towards you, but they're trained like, oh, you, like, I could take your leg out, I could take your arm, you know what I mean, some shit like that. It's not like, oh, I feel threatened, I'm gonna kill you.
So there's a video on this.
Yeah, and it's out there.
There's a video on IG. Go to the you can follow the Shade Room on IG, and there's a video posted, and I guess the kid was surrounded by all of these cops and he had a knife, supposedly. He allegedly had a knife.
Yeah.
And he was just trying to walk away from them.
Yeah.
Kind of like, get out of my way, I didn't do anything. And they started letting off, and supposedly they were shooting him with the beanbags. Now,
I think when the video starts, you see that, like, he's kind of like in pain. So I think they shot him with the beanbags.
I think they had already shot him
before that. Yeah.
And so now I guess they had loaded up real bullets. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of unclear on that.
It's only a 15-second clip, so yeah, there's only so much you can take
I'm unclear
from it.
If they actually pulled out the real bullets or they just kept shooting him with the beanbag. I think it was real bullets that they shot him with, but he was walking away and they started letting off. I feel like this. I feel like if you're a police officer, just like you said, Sayed, if you're a police officer, you're trained to be put into these scenarios where you know how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
You're getting paid to do the fearful shit that everyone else is not going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why you get paid so much money. And I don't think police officers get paid as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
I will put that out there. And not all officers are bad. I'll start here. Let me start
there.
Please. Mm-hmm. Not all police officers are bad. My mother was a police officer for 20 years. She was transit police in the Bronx, New York. And she was on the job, always a good person, always did the right thing, stopped a lot of shit like this from happening. That's happening now.
Yeah.
But she put her time in and she's done. And I could barely ever get away with shit because of how she was. And because of her, I'm the person that I am, and I know my rights. And you know, I know when to shut the fuck up around police, and I know when I don't necessarily need to shut the fuck up.
Oh, nigga, I shut the fuck up around cops because I'm just, you know that stereotype when niggas say that you just scared of police? I'm scared of police, nigga.
Well, today, I'm not scared of police. Because my mother was a cop. Now, here's the thing. I used to be around police because my mother's friends were police.
Gotcha.
And I used to go to I used to go to her job. I used to go to the precinct. You know what I mean? I was just like, hey, it's Jay. It's CJ's son. You know what I mean? Like, And I knew cops. And when I was on the street, they knew me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of them didn't. And I actually got a survivor story for y'all later on in the maybe next episode. But yeah, some of them didn't know me, and they treated me like they didn't know me.
No,
but
I got one too, nigga. I got that you fit the description shit before, but we'll get into that
just
down
overall,
the line.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just overall police. I'm really not afraid of no cop because they're all people, because I know them as people. I've seen so many police officers outside of uniform that I can't be afraid of them.
I hear you.
But you can't. You gotta know who you are in America. Black, white, I'm gonna even say white, any type Latino. You gotta know who you are in America when it comes to these police officers.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of an issue with minorities, but black, white, whatever. You are not, you police officers are the law. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, whether they're right or wrong, they're gonna expect you to abide by what they're asking you to do. And if you don't, they are gonna act like you are disobeying the law and you deserve to be punished. Is it right? No, it is not. But I'm not afraid of them.
Well, the reason why I'm afraid of police, and I'll admit it, I am, is, again, what a perfect example is this with Laquan McDonald thing in Southside Chicago.
Yeah.
When, again, oddly enough, he had a knife on him too, walking down the street. Now, there was nothing saying like he stabbed anybody or whatever. They were just saying that, like, hey, we saw a guy walking down the street and he may or may not have a knife on him. You know what I mean? And the there was like five squad cars that were there surrounding him. And there was just one cop who hopped out. And I think they said it was like 5 to 6 seconds that he was just like, get down on the ground. The kid was like, nah. And he let off.
Yeah.
He just let off.
Yeah.
So that's why me, like, when I'm around cops, it's yes, sir, no, sir. I'll be quiet, whatever, whatever. Like I said, I have a crazy story when I got pulled over three times in one night in New York for fitting the description. And each time, I was not like, yo, I'm tired of this shit. Y'all always fucking with me. Because then that's when they get at you. You don't need to do that. Just, you know, be cool with them. Niggas illegally searched my car.
Yeah,
I ain't say shit. Niggas went through my whip, and I was just like, yo, do what you got to do, B. I know I ain't got shit on me. I don't want no problems. It is what it is. You know what I mean? And that's what people need to do. Like, there's niggas out there, they wild out, the cops say something to them, and then that shit happens. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it happens every time, but that's the case sometimes. You know?
And I'm not wild with the mouth. I used to be. A little while ago, I used to be wild with the mouth, and it got me in a lot of trouble, and I could have been killed. But nowadays, I don't fuck with the police at all. Am I afraid? No. Will I let them illegally search my car? No. Now, if they pull a gun and say, step out of the car, I'm stepping the fuck out the car. Nigga, and I'm not saying anything. Yeah. But if they just say, do you mind if I search your vehicle? I would say, yes, I do mind. Yeah. You don't have probable cause to search my vehicle. And
oh, no. Nigga, when they did that to me, there was four of them. One was on my passenger side.
Yeah, I mean, nah.
I told him, I was just like, yo, is it necessary? And he was like, because I was out of state.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, we're a little suspicious. And then right there, I said, all right, you said you suspicious, my nigga? Hey. You know what? I know I ain't got shit in here. Y'all have a blast. Don't fuck up my car.
I mean,
I knew it was wrong. Don't get me wrong. I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
But I was by myself, my nigga. There was nobody there with cameras. I ain't going down, bro.
I asked for badge numbers. I asked for names. I asked for badge numbers.
But you know that. Me, I just...
But you know what it is? I don't fuck with them. They fuck with me. And they fuck with everyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it is what it is. I just don't fuck with them back. You know? But anyway... Off on a tangent, back to the young man that was shot down in San Francisco. I feel like, yes, obviously, they could have gone different routes to put this man down in a humane way. You know, allegedly, the man had a knife. Okay, when I hear allegedly, that means they didn't know if he had a knife. They may not have known if he had a gun. And a lot of police officers say, okay, well, we just want to get home to our kids. Yeah. We don't know. This is a dangerous... It is dangerous because there's police officers getting killed. Yeah. And some of the time we don't hear about it. Some of the time we do hear about it. It's a real thing. And yes, it is scary. But you're paid to be able to assess situations like this and handle them appropriately and accordingly.
They're trained.
So I feel like, exactly. So I feel like even if they did shoot him, they could have shot him in the leg.
Yeah.
You know, police officers are trained to shoot to kill, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
They're trained to shoot at center mass, and they are trained to shoot to kill. They're not trained to disarm. I'm not going to say they don't know how.
Yeah.
But they're trained to, if they're using their weapon, to shoot to kill. However, they're not supposed to be doing that unless their life is threatened.
Yeah.
So if your life is not threatened, you shouldn't be.
I mean, my shit is just like, yo, it's a knife. And again, I understand if he's charging at you and stuff like that. I understand. I would understand if it's like, yo, this nigga got a gun and he's firing back and your life is in danger. Cool. But you got a knife. You got a dude with a knife and you got a gun.
Right.
I don't say a million, but there's other things that you can do to subdue this person.
Absolutely.
There was how many cops out there that they don't got like no tasers, no nothing like that.
Absolutely.
I feel that coming to the gun should be your last resort. I know everything's like this. It got to be quick. Of course, I understand that. But like they have to tell them like, yo, it has to be your last resort. Like you hit this dude. I appreciate, but the fact that they did the beanbag thing first, that shows that like they weren't out there just to kill this dude. You know what I mean? And then he just got up and it seemed like he was charging them. And then unfortunately in the video, the person puts the camera down when you see the guy kind of walking towards the cop. And then all you hear is the gunfire. You know what I mean? So we don't know if he ran at him with the knife. We don't know what happened.
And it didn't look like it, but like you said, we don't know.
Exactly.
In my opinion, I just feel like there were a lot of different ways that they could have subdued the suspect, just like you said, and it didn't have to go the way it went. And I think I think in a lot of these cases, police officers feel they're very anxious at this point because they know the stories that are circulating. They know what happened with Trayvon Martin and Sean Brown and Mike Brown. Like they know all of these stories.
Yeah.
And in a way, they're scared because once they get in a situation where they have a young black, African-American, Latino, Mexican, Chinese, white, you know, Indian kid, and they think he's a threat, they know once they're in that situation, it's automatically going to look like they're in the wrong for trying to subdue the person. And when it gets real, they're thinking to themselves, this person might hate me. This person might look at me as the threat. This person might be looking at me like, you killed Mike Brown. You killed this person. You killed, like, not, I'm not saying I'm not trying to defend them, but what I'm trying to get into their mind and figure out what it is, because police officers would never, it was always bad, but this is crazy.
Yeah, this year is
and it might be because social media is at a point that it's at.
Yeah.
Where everybody's pulling their camera out.
There's always but
I just gotta say, like, this is on some next level shit. And I feel like the cops are also anxious. Just like we're anxious. Yeah. Like when a cop rolls up on us and walks up to the car, we're thinking, oh shit, please don't shoot me. Yeah. Because we're like, yo, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. The cop is walking up to the car like, I don't know. I got to put my hand on my gun because this motherfucker might be like, fuck that. I'm not getting shot and shoot me. You just never know. There's motherfuckers out there that's crazy.
It's
you
an
never
unfortunate
know.
Mindset that it they have to be in.
It
man.
Is. But it doesn't justify what they do in order to prevent that shit from happening. At the end of the day, they are the law.
Yeah.
They have the guns. They have the training to disarm people. So I feel like, in no way, shape, or form is it right what they're doing. I'm just trying to dig into their mind and figure out what it is that's triggering them to do this. Like, what is it that triggers you and six other men, grown-ass men or women, to surround a youth and just start shooting? Like, what is it? What's going through your head? Like, I don't think that many people are crazy. Yes, I do think there's many crazy people, but I don't think that many people are crazy. I feel like there's people that really, like, I gotta shoot them. Like, I think that's what they're thinking.
No, I think there is some out there. And again, like you said, they have your bad and you have your good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I have a quick story that, like, I heard. I forgot where I heard it from. It might have been a podcast. Salute to y'all. I'm not trying to bite or nothing, but I just thought it was a great story. This guy was saying that he grew up with a kid. They were from Brooklyn. And the kid grew up and he became a cop, and he made sure, he made it his job that he wanted to be an officer in his old neighborhood and the surrounding neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So now these people are familiar with him. And now, instead of him being a dickhead to people out there, he could just be like, yo, Tyrone B, I know your moms. Don't do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he was like, they were telling a story that, you know, he was out one day and this old white lady, comes up to him and says, hey, these guys over here at the corner store, I think they're selling drugs. I saw them go in the store and then they came back out. And now he walks over and he looks and he's like, oh, I know both of them. And he goes, they on a lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
They went in to order a sandwich and they outside waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is why I thought it was dope. He was in his old neighborhood, so he knew that. Now, imagine if it was some Officer McNally or something like that who's never been over there. He's like, what? They're selling drugs? Mm-hmm. Put your hands up. I ain't doing shit. What? Bah, bah, bah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know, but like, it's the fact that he knows his neighborhood and shit like that. And maybe we need a little bit more of that. Like, you know what I mean? If people want to make their neighborhoods better or whatever, if you want to become an officer, try to do that shit in your neighborhood. So at least people are used to you, they're comfortable, and you won't have none of that wild shit going on. Again, that's one, you know, that's one story, but.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, just to add on that, I don't even feel like you have to be a police officer in your own neighborhood. I don't think that's always the problem. I just think police officers are different these days. Mm-hmm. They don't walk beats no more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Police officers are not walking around their neighborhood, mm-hmm. getting to know people, asking them how their day was.
That's true too.
Answering questions.
That would make
all of these
difference.
Cops are in cars now, mm-hmm. just driving around. He fits a description. Nobody's walking beats no more. Whatever happened to going outside and you just see a cop walking the street?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't see cops walking the street no more. You don't have to be in your own neighborhood, but get to know the people in the neighborhood that you're surveilling. Walk around. Get to know Miss Gladys, you know what I mean, down the street.
Yeah.
Because you see her every morning. Get to know Tyrone over here. Get to know Jeremy and Josh and see when their lunch break is, because you know you've been seeing them every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You date, everybody's just in cars now, mm-hmm. just driving around.
That's
and it's
very
like,
true.
Oh, now, you know, now I got to hop out the car and figure out what's good. It's just different, you know? I don't think it's just, I think it's more than being familiar with your own neighborhood, because, you know, sometimes the law won't get upheld that way, mm-hmm. because they'll try to take advantage of you that way too.
Okay.
I know you. What you mean? Now you want to be a cop, and all of a sudden it depends. I just feel
man.
Like it's different. That's all, and you know, it's unfortunate what's going on. I just hope to God that I it sounds very selfish. I just hope me and mine, you know what I mean, survive this time, because I feel like it is a time, like, it's going to be forever. Shit is going to happen like this forever. Yeah. You have power and you have authority. They're always going to abuse it. But right now, I think it's bad.
Yeah,
I just want to get past this time, man. I just want to get past
Hopefully, man. Hopefully. We went on for quite some time, but I thought that was necessary, man, that we speak about this. You know, there was a lot of other things going on, you know, the Planned Parenthood shooting and all that. That was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this nigga got subdued and he's alive. But hey, who am I? You know, but all right, let's change subject. Let's change this up a little bit, man. Our boy Kobe Bryant is, you know, heading out the door, man. He's about to retire, you know.
I mean, shout out to Kobe.
He picked the perfect time, man, because he's stinking the place up.
You think he picked the perfect time?
Yeah, because you know, you think... Well, no. He could have gone out earlier.
I was going to say
that. He could have gone out earlier.
I was going to say that. Do you think that he could have maybe went out earlier?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. I'm going to play devil's advocate on my own question.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that people feel like Kobe should have been left.
Yeah.
But Kobe's been injured for like the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So as a fan, I'm not a personal fan of Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
But I was never a fan of the Lakers, mm-hmm. and I always hated Kobe because he was on the Lakers. But you got to give him the respect because
you have to.
He's Kobe. But as a fan, if I was a Kobe fan, you don't feel like you might have been a little bit cheated and I won't say cheated, but like let down that he decides to step down from the league when he's injured. It's almost like, oh, you get hurt and now you're gone. You know, like you didn't even try to come back, or kind of like, you know, you were good.
Mm.
And, you know, now because you've moved out of your prime, you've injured yourself, you know, give it another shot.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. Hey, I gave it a shot.
I think that's what he's doing.
I think
doing
that's exactly
now.
What it is. Like, yo, I gave it a shot, but I can't do it no more.
And he's just like, he doesn't have it in him. I mean, the boy's still good, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be, but like he had an amazing game, I want to say Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then the night before that, when they were in Philly, the boy went like 6 or 7 for 23.
He was 7 and 24.
Yo, it was like
Really bad. And his and you know, that seven came back to back. Yeah. Like that seven
it
was
like right
like,
in the
oh,
beginning. Like,
yeah.
Oh, here goes Kobe about to turn up in Philly. And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. And that's his hometown, man. And you know what was really sad about that? Here's the thing about Kobe that I like and then I dislike. Oh, it's not even that I dislike it. It's just funny.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Kobe came back and he gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. And he said, listen, and he told the people, if I don't average more than 20 points a game, it's probably going to be it. Yeah. You know what I mean? He said that because that's it. That's Kobe. You can't, you're not Kobe if you're not averaging 20 points a game. You know what I mean? You got rookies and you got, you know, centers averaging, you know, 12 points a game sometimes. And it's like, so for him, the fact that he came back and he gave it a shot, yes, I respect that. But yo, that game against the 76ers, bro, he was taking anything.
Yeah.
I feel like, all right, Kobe, I get it. This is your last hoorah. Mm-hmm. Give it your all. But my nigga, he was shooting shots that the real Kobe wouldn't take.
I have a question after this, but go ahead.
And I'm like, my nigga, like, come on. Yeah. Like, he's taking J.R. Smith shots. Like when J.R. Smith wanted to go for that 3-point, but when J.R. Smith was going for that 3-point record of most 3-pointers hit in a game, he was just taking them. Mm-hmm. That's what Kobe was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Kobe, man, Kobe,
you know what?
You still have not an image to uphold. Like, we're not going to remember Kobe for this, but like, yo, this is going to your stats,
nigga,
bro.
This is like you're Jordan killing, when he played on the Wizards. Like, I'm not going to remember this shit.
Yo, you're killing
it's going to, it's the Men in Black shit, man. This season never existed.
Yeah,
you know what really broke my
absolutely.
Heart, man? I was watching him play against the Warriors, and I'm watching him play, and I'm just like, yo, that's not Kobe Bean Bryant, man. Like, that's not Kobe.
And that's something else I was going to say.
Yeah, like, he started off the game. I think he made a three, and I was just like, yeah, Kobe's going to put a fight up this game. Mm-hmm. And then the Warriors came down, scored again. He came down. He took a crazy shot, and then, like, the Warriors went on a run, and then Kobe took another. I'm just like, oh, man, Kobe.
You know what it is? Kobe is really, to be playing in the NBA, and the NBA is a sport where you could go long. Football is, once you're 30, you're done.
Nah, you can't go long.
But basketball, you know, you could go into your 40s and still kind of do your thing. Mm. Kobe is old, man. Kobe is old.
He's not even old.
No, but
he came into the league.
He came at an early age. I get that. He was 18 or whatever,
yeah,
18 right?
When he came in.
I get that. Right now, you got to look at the NBA. Right.
I definitely get what you're saying.
You look at the NBA and it is rare, like LeBron.
Yeah.
And Carmelo Anthony are getting old and they're young. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they get like it's getting to the point where these Steph Currys and Anthony Davises and these players are fucking young. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'd be looking at the age. I'm like, yo, he's only
23. And they're all young together.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's just that time.
And Kobe
man.
Is at a point where he cannot make it with these kids. You know what I mean? You got to think, he was playing when Jordan was playing.
Yeah.
Jordan hasn't played for many, many years.
Kobe's going on, I think it's 20 years? Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know exactly. Forgive me, Sebo. I don't know the numbers exactly, but Kobe's been playing for a minute, man.
Yeah, probably longer. Tim Duncan. Old man, but he's, you know what? Tim Duncan is still
different.
Nah, Tim Duncan is different, but he's a center.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? He's not a forward. He doesn't have to do the things that Kobe has to do.
And
so
he
it's
still
a little
gets
different.
Those rest days, man.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I think is corny, but
yeah.
Hey,
but
he had Popovich has to
listen.
Keep
I love
his team
listen.
Healthy,
I love the Spurs, man. I love the Spurs. I'm a Knick fan.
Old man.
I'm a Knick fan. But I love the Spurs, man. They are fundamentally the only team. They're literally the only team in the NBA that is the same team that they were like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? And they play like they played 10 years ago.
They're phenomenal.
And they're as good. They're still going to the finals every year. And it's like, yo, how the fuck did this happen? Like, no, this doesn't really happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's. I love the Spurs just for that fact.
I have a question for you, real quick. Now the coaching right now, they're letting Kobe, you know, take the shots that he wants and all that stuff. I have a question. I asked one of my coworkers today.
Is it hurting the team?
Yes, that's one. And two, do you think the Lakers are going to do better next year without Kobe? I say yes, because now they have a brand new team, and now there really is, even though they have great players on that team, they don't have that star player. Like, now everybody can really show their potential.
Right.
You know what I mean? Russell's amazing. I mean, he has to work on a few things, but he's good. I mean, the team is great, but like right now they're just like, all right, yo, Kobe wants a shot, let Kobe take the shot. You know what I mean? So do you think next year the Lakers are actually going to do better than they are this year? You think they're going to be a better team?
I think they're going to be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to do much better.
No, I don't. I'm not talking about contenders or even,
you know, I'm not talking about
rebuild.
I think they're going to be a better team together.
Yeah.
I think they are going to, they're going to have a little bit of a stress of relief. Like, okay, there's no Kobe to, you know, respect anymore. Yeah. I'm not, and I doubt it's going to be that blunt, but it's going to be more like, all right, we get a chance to really, like you said, showcase our skills and build as a team together.
Yeah.
And rebuild. Cause they do have some great players on the team. Do I think they're going to do much better? No, because I think they need a lot of help. I think they do need a leader like a Kobe Bryant, but someone who can lead like Kobe Bryant and play like LeBron or Steph Curry, like lead and play, like, you know, be a leader and be a Russell Westbrook for the team. And I don't think the Lakers have that. But
no, they don't.
But will they? But will they? Time. But will they? Will they be a better team? I believe so. Because at this point, Kobe is a chip. He's a sentimental chip on the Lakers' shoulder. It's kind of like, yo, man, you're it. You are the Lakers. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we have to give you the ball. We have to let you lead us.
Yeah.
And I think the team needs a new young leader to show, like, to not show, but to take them in the direction they need to go. Yeah.
Yo, Kobe, you need to just take a step back real quick. Let some of these young boys do their thing. Excuse me. I mean, you're still that dude. Still take your shots, but you need to let these young boys ball, man. Because when he's out there, he's not really letting these young boys ball, man.
That's like, true. But you know what? I'm shaking my head kind of because, yes, let them ball. I get that. But you know what, man? It's his last year.
Yeah, I guess he's just going to go for it.
They're not. Look at the Lakers, man. The Lakers are not in a good position.
Nah, they're,
they're a bad team. You know what I mean? They're not going anywhere year.
They're not.
I feel like, man, let Kobe go out the way he want to go out. Do I want him to go 7-for-24? No. No.
Please don't.
No. I want him to go like 7-for-13 and then get on the bench for a little while.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Play the last 5 minutes of the game. Yeah, I want him to play the last 5 minutes of the game. And that's it. Do I want him to spend 40 minutes on the court missing everything?
Nah.
But you know what I mean? Hit a couple threes, go to the line a few times. You know, I don't want to see him out here getting blocked the way he's been getting blocked and just shooting air balls. Like, no, but I don't want to see that, Kobe. You know what I mean?
This
I want to see Kobe
exist in my book, Kobe.
I want to see Kobe hit somebody with a Hezzy. You know what I mean? I want to see somebody hit him with an Andrew. I want to see him hit somebody with an Andrew Schultz. You know what I mean? And take it to the rim, and you know what I mean? Let these niggas know, like, yo, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, they stealing the ball from him. They out hustling him. They're blocking his shots. They're forcing him into shooting air balls.
Yeah.
It's not the Kobe. And we're not going to remember Kobe for this, like I said. But, you know, I don't want to see him forcing that.
Yeah. Still a legend in my eyes, man. Still
absolutely a legend.
All right, let's change it up. You know, we always do our hip hop segments. We actually have quite a bit to speak about. We're already 45 minutes in, but hey,
nah, that's all good. We'll be quick.
Let's go through this, man. Okay, Kendrick and J. Cole release remixes, rapping over each other's beats. Black Friday. Kendrick was rapping over Tale of Two Cities, and Cole was rapping over Be All Right. I have a question for y'all before I get to Jay. You know, hit us up, TOS_SO on Twitter. Let us know who you think had a better song. Now, I put up, you know, for you guys to vote on saying who had a better verse, but of course we didn't really speak about it. And everybody said Kendrick. I agree. Jay, do you agree?
I agree. I think Kendrick had the better freestyle.
We spoke about it before the episode started. I think Kendrick went off lyrically. The song, like, he was definitely don't get it twisted. Cole still did his thing. I just think K-Dot was snapping. But what I did enjoy with J. Cole is, like, he made the song his. Like, he had a verse. He still threw, like, a little hook in there, and he was rapping too. I just feel that K-Dot was just snapping a little bit more than Cole. That's all.
I feel like at the end of the day, when it comes to a freestyle, it's about snapping. It's not about I want to make a hit record off a song. I think J. Cole did an excellent job. And we was talking about this in the pre-roll. I know Fab had put out like an unreleased freestyle to the Be All Right record. And I heard it and I thought it was J. Cole blew that out the water. I mean, he went off. He went off on this shit. But I feel like Kendrick goes off. He spazzes, and then he be throwing little bridges in. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden his voice changes up, and it's just like the amount of creativity that Kendrick puts into his music and into that freestyle. And the beat was hard. Personally, I like that beat way better than the All Right beat. You know what I mean? So it's
I feel like All Right fit Cole, though.
Oh, it did fit Cole. Yeah. It absolutely fit Cole. But Tale of Two Cities fit Kendrick.
Yeah, that was like
more than Be All Right fit Kendrick. Man. I actually feel like those beats should have been switched originally. Like, I feel like J. Cole should have did Be All Right, and Kendrick should have did Tale of Two Cities originally. But either way, Kendrick snapped, and I feel like, you know, maybe it's just because he snapped for longer. Maybe it's because he snapped for four minutes. You know what it is, like three. Too? I don't know.
Remember at the end, like, he stopped and he's like, I'm done.
And then he kept going. Yeah, yo, it's just different.
If he would have went for 10 minutes, I wouldn't have been mad.
Yeah, it's just different. Kendrick is just different, man. Yeah. And you know what? All of you motherfuckers saying Kendrick Lamar is overrated, suck a dick, bro. No,
definitely.
Suck a dick. I've been hearing this on other podcasts. I've been hearing this on Twitter. Oh, Kendrick ain't really all. Get the fuck out of my face with that. All right, listen.
Good Kid, Mad City. Niggas didn't fuck with To Pimp a Butterfly because it wasn't too much turn up music, and they actually had to sit and listen to an album and listen to what he's saying. There was a message in almost every fucking song.
And the album, that was the first, I won't say that was the first album, but first album in a long, since Good Kid, Mad City, where the whole album was themed under one theme. Albums and aren't made like that no more.
Wow, effortlessly.
Albums aren't made like that no more. Like, albums are made like mixtapes now.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a couple more songs, fewer songs than a mixtape does. Somebody might drop a mixtape, it got 15 songs on it, boom. Then they turn around and they drop an album that got like a good 10, 12 joints on it. And it's all it is the mixtape for money. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Kendrick really put together a great body of work, and he took the time to do it. Yeah. And it all is under one genre. It's all jazzy. It all has a message. It all has the same story. He speaks a poem from beginning to the end of the album. And as the songs progress, he continues to go farther with the poem.
Yeah.
And each excerpt of the poem leads into the song. And it's like, yo, you just got to appreciate this shit for the amount of effort and the talent and creativity that he's putting into this shit. And I think people don't listen to that. They're just like, oh, his voice is weird. Oh, I don't even know what he's saying.
They want to hear that mindless
shit. Oh, I just want to hear him spit hard. Like, yo, just whatever. All of y'all, man, listen. I'm not trying to suck his dick, nothing like that. I just feel like the motherfucker is one of the most talented.
When a person's talented, they're talented,
that's
man.
And
we don't get artists like Kendrick often, man, or Cole. I'm not trying to take anything away from Cole because he's great as well.
Yeah.
But like, people, like, again, I think people just want to hear that mindless turn up shit. He's not talking about money. He's not talking about bitches. He's not talking about popping pill. He has a message. I don't care. I can't listen to shit in the club. Fuck that, man. Yeah. Like, the kid is doing something that people have been asking for.
Oh, yeah.
They want somebody to do something with their music, something that's powerful. And Kendrick and Cole are doing that.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. You just hit it on the head. That you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly.
That's the sad thing. People will forever say, man, everybody just want to make music about drugs and shooting guns, and the kids is listening, and man, you not putting the right message out across to the youth, and yo, Kendrick is doing that.
Yep.
But now it's, oh, I don't want to hear it because it's too jazzy for me. It's
fuck
bullshit,
fuck
but
out.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. Right.
One more question. Do you care? Cole kind of hinted
that they're going to drop a group mixtape in February.
Do you care about it?
I do. Mm-hmm. Personally, I do. Do I think it's going to be amazing? I don't know. I think it's going to be amazing in its own right.
Yeah.
How are they going to mesh? I don't know.
You see, that's the thing. People are like, oh, yeah, they work together. They really haven't done a song together.
Nah,
Cole produced some songs for Kendrick. Yeah. Kendrick was on a hook for Forbidden Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like, they never traded bars. We don't know if they're going to actually sound good on a record together, rapping back and forth. Like, we know that Drake and Future shit was going to work because we heard them a few times before that, and each song has been fire. So we're like, all right, we know that's going to work. We don't know if a Kendrick and J. Cole are going to work. Also, I'm also looking at like their personalities and energy. Cole is a little laid back. Like, he still goes off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like, his energy isn't the same as Kendrick. Kendrick, you know, when he gets on a track, like, he just goes off. You know what I mean? So like, is Cole going to be able, is Cole going to be able to keep up? Or like, let's say Cole is rapping about something. Can Kendrick really rap about what Cole is rapping about? Like, we just don't know because they haven't done it together yet. You know what I mean?
So my biased opinion is J. Cole and Kendrick are two of the biggest breaths of fresh air in hip hop since they came out.
Yeah, definitely.
So my biased opinion is, regardless if they mesh well, I want to hear it.
So do I.
It's going to be new Kendrick and it's going to be new Cole.
Don't get me wrong. I want
to
hear
it. Am I going to listen to it hoping that it's a classic? No. Am I going to be listening to it hoping that it's top five mixtapes of 2016? No. Mm. Am I going to listen to it and, you know, hoping to get replay value from it every day? No. Because I didn't get that with To Pimp a Butterfly. I listened to that album three times. I don't listen to it every day. I'll admit that.
Mm.
Was it a good album? Yeah. What do I consider it, like, one of the greatest albums? No.
But oh, like, you have to be in a mood for it. That's the same with Forest Hill Drive.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the album. Yeah. I don't listen to it every day, but there's some days that, like, I'm driving into work and I'm like, you know what, let me put this shit on.
Yeah,
man.
But I definitely want to listen to it. If they do come out with it, I want to listen to it and appreciate the talent and the bars that I'm going to hear. That's why I want to hear it, absolutely.
All right, so since we're going to get into beef after this, I just got a quick... I heard somebody say this. Do you think Cole went at Drake in the beginning of his song? He said, if I quote it, I wrote it. Six headshots, I rode a nigga.
Six.
And they're saying that Drake don't write his own shit.
Yeah. That's sort of a reach, but...
It's a reach, but you just... That's the same with King Kunta when he said, was it, niggas got ghost riders?
Yeah.
I'm just starting some shit.
It's a reach, but it's possible.
Hey.
It's possible.
You could have said seven headshots. You could have said five.
Yeah.
You went with six.
And I did listen to it. And I did listen. I did listen to that part and try to figure out where the metaphor was.
Mm.
I was thinking, all right, six headshots, erode six.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll erode in it. Like, what is he?
I was too.
But yeah, maybe.
I was reaching.
You never know, man. You never know. You could be like Rick Ross. It is what it is.
Which is what we're gonna get into next.
You can take it how you want to take it, because I'm a boss. Six headshots.
Man.
What do you think it means?
Yo, he put out a song, Color Money.
Color Money.
Color Money.
Color Money.
He said, give me 1 second. Let me just pull up this real quick. He said, my little homie made $1 million on his girls tour. We back to back and down to whack a nigga and his unborn. Miami niggas got them. Miami niggas got them changing all the gun laws. So run for us. Got some shooters and they'll be dying too. I got more money than that pussy nigga that you signed to.
Mm.
So now it does sound like shots at Drake. At first, I thought he was also taking shots at Wayne, but that was already kind of clarified with his interview on Thursday with the Breakfast Club. What do you think about that, man? Like,
I feel like Rick Ross obviously was coming at Drake.
Definitely.
My little homie made $1 million on his girls tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's a play on words, yep, on Drake saying, is that a world tour or your girls tour? So Rick Ross is addressing that. I make more money than that pussy that you signed to. Obviously still talking to Drake. Now you would think, okay, Drake has signed a Lil Wayne. But at the end of the day, Young Money is under Cash Money.
Yeah.
So we know that Rick Ross fucks with Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So it is confusing. You would say, why is he coming at Wayne? But you know, in the Breakfast Club interview on Thursday, he stated, me and Wayne are cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, anybody else, they can take it how they want it.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he's talking about Birdman. He even went further to say that he doesn't respect what Birdman did regarding Lil Wayne and his contract. He doesn't respect the fact that Birdman is kind of shitting Lil Wayne out of his money, and it's sad. He feels like that's not some real shit to do. And I agree, man. Look, at the end of the day, Birdman and Wayne, that was supposed to be family.
Exactly.
You know? And at the end of the day, you're not supposed to say business is business when it comes to your supposedly your son. You know what I mean? You kissing this nigga in the mouth in front of cameras and shit. You know, my nigga, this is, y'all been riding together since, you know what I mean, the block is hot and you know, Wayne was 17. That, yeah. You know what I mean? And you took this motherfucker in. At the end of the day, the way I look at it is Birdman is shiesty.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Some of the biggest names in the game.
He did the same shit to Juvie. He did the same shit to Manny Fresh.
Yeah. So, and they all came forward and said that shit. They all came forward and said that shit. Like, you know, we was hot boys. It was never like Cash Money was, they didn't treat us like that. You know what I mean? We was, but you know, the way I look at it is Rick Ross, I don't know, man. I feel like he's just protecting Meek.
Yeah.
I feel like Meek should have protected his damn self, but that's neither here nor there. Is Rick Ross right for coming at Drake to come at Birdman? I don't know. I think that is more of a reach. Because at the end of the day, listen, this is between Drake and Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Meek, you lost your own war. You know what I mean? You lost your own battle. For Ross to come out and be like, I got to put this record out.
And maybe Ross
makes Meek look even softer.
Ross was doing that to like just, you know, niggas was laughing at Meek. He was just trying to clarify, like, hey, y'all was laughing. This nigga still made money when he was on his girls tour, whatever.
That was a smooth line.
Yeah, it was smooth.
That was a smooth line.
But like at the same time, like, you know, I hope he's not trying to start some shit with Drake, even though it's kind of looking like it's going that way or whatever.
Well Drake,
especially since he's saying he's cool with Wayne. But
well, Drake is not going to respond. Let's start there.
Nah,
he's not gonna respond.
I think he's really waiting for, or maybe he's just over it, but maybe he's just waiting for Meek to respond. You know what I mean?
And he's gonna drop 3-peat and it's gonna be
he's gonna change up a few lines
and
in that 3-peat.
He's gonna throw a couple Rick Ross lines in that 3-peat.
Yeah.
If Meek Mill comes back. So here's the thing. 3-peat is gonna drop.
Mm-hmm.
3-peat is going to drop. For all the fans, for all the Drake fans and all the fans of this beef that's going on. Oh, drop 3-peat, drop 3. Don't worry. It's going to
it's
drop.
It's going to happen.
It's going to drop because on Dream Chasers 4?
Yeah, it's 4.
On Dream Chasers 4, Meek is going to have something to say.
Yeah, he's going to.
And it's going, like, he's going to have something to say. And Drake, he already got 3-peat in the cut. He's probably going to release it. And depending on how hard Meek goes, Drake might go in there.
He's definitely gonna change up a few lines. Bad, and since the song is already pretty much done, nigga, he's gonna drop it a day or two later.
And then Dream Chasers 4 is no more.
And then nobody's going to
care.
It's
the same thing.
Oh my god.
It's the same.
Fuck.
Yeah, it sucks for Meek. But at the end of the day, I think Ricky, Renzel, whatever he's going by these days. I feel like, you know, to drop that song, cool. But, you know, why?
He didn't have to drag Drake into
He didn't have to drag Drake into it, because at the end of the day, yo, that's not your...
It came all together, though.
If you a boss... If you a boss...
True. You would go directly at that.
You handle your own... Mm-hmm. If you a boss is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about Rick Ross at this point. I'm talking about Meek. And Rick Ross calls Meek a boss. If you a boss, you got to let Meek handle his own. Mm-hmm. And if you a boss, Rick Ross, you got to let your co-bosses do they boss shit. Yeah. If somebody come diss you, I'm not going to come out and say, I'm going to diss him for you. I'm going to be like, nigga, why ain't you come back?
You
should have
gave that line to Meek.
Yeah, nigga. Exactly. Anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So... I don't know. I feel like Rick Ross is kind of coming out to save his young boy, and it is what it is. But
all right, okay. This just happened on Thursday, which was hilarious, but it leads into an interesting question. Slim Jesus was on his first stop on his tour. This nigga got a tour.
I was gonna really ask.
This nigga.
What?
Yeah, he's headlining a tour.
If y'all don't remember, in episode one, we spoke about Slim Jesus. Okay.
We spoke about
Drill Time in episode one. We told y'all to Google him. If you haven't Googled him, I'll plug him again. Go ahead and Google him. Very funny. Very funny sight to see. Kind of looks like the kid from Malcolm in the Middle, the younger brother.
Thank you. Yes, he does.
He looks like the younger brother from Malcolm in the Middle, just a little bit older, running around with all of these toy guns, a whole bunch of minorities and black people.
Guns and shit like that.
Yeah,
and
he's kind of
making a mockery of it, because he's on record talking about he's catching bodies, selling this and doing that. And then they do an interview, and he's like, nah, I thought it was cool to rap about, but nah, I'm just a regular person, blah, blah, blah. But whatever. So somebody ran up on stage on his first stop, snatched the mic from him, like just Debo'd the fuck out of this nigga, and then said, support real hip-hop, and called him a bitch, and then dropped the mic. Nigga canceled the next show, by the way, too, you know, because you don't want nobody else running up on the stage. But then that kind of brings up a question that I have. Well, actually, I kind of have two questions now that I think about it. One, does fucking real hip hop even matter anymore if you want to be a successful artist? And also, does it matter if you need to be authentic nowadays, man?
So here's the thing. For me, my answer is bias. You know, my answer is bias. I think you should always be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if you're Drake, regardless if you're J. Cole, Kendrick, Rick Ross, Meek Mill, I think you should be true to yourself. That's how I look at it. I think you need to just always be true to yourself. Is every artist going to do that? No. Do I expect every artist to do that? No. Because at the end of the day, this is entertainment.
Yeah.
And entertainment is just like stand-up comedy. And it's just like movies, television shows. These people put on a facade and they act to entertain. So I get it. But do I feel like you need to go as far as every, like, making your gimmick shooting people, Slim Jesus, i.e., or being a homosexual Young Thug, i.e., or, you know, selling mad drugs? Like, should that be your gimmick if you've never done it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But a little bit of fabrication based off of life experiences or things you've seen, or I feel like, hey, it is what it is. Entertainment. Yeah. You want to touch every fan base. But to your other question, does real hip hop matter? I feel like, yeah, man. Like, another biased answer, but real hip hop for us is a little bit different. Real hip hop for us is a little bit different. But you know what? Today, we still got real hip hop. We have Kendrick Lamar. I feel like Kendrick is real hip hop. I feel like Game is still real hip hop. I feel like Kiss is real hip hop. Fab is real hip hop. Cole is real hip hop. Even Drake. I feel like Drake is real hip hop. Drake sings a lot, but it's still hip hop. We can still understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
We could still he paints a picture. Mm-hmm. He's talented, and I won't take nothing away from him. I'm not gonna say I feel like he's the most thorough artist in the game, or he's the realest, or don't fuck with him. But I feel like the motherfucker's talented. Yeah. I feel like he's one of the artists that you really got to think really hard before coming out, and we've seen it with Meek, because you know, you have those artists, you have your Kendricks and you have your J. Cole, we haven't really seen yet, but you have your Jay-Z's and your Nas and your Eminem's, especially where it's like, I got to think real long and hard, 50 Cent especially. I got to think real long and hard before saying anything about this person, because I know they're going to come back hard. Yeah. We have artists like that in the game. So I feel like it's still there and it's still important and it's really only afloat because of them. But you also these days got to generalize more on your definition of real hip hop.
Okay. I was just about to say that, because you know what? Our definition of real hip hop might be different from a nigga from like Atlanta.
Way different.
Because a nigga from Atlanta might be like, yo, Gucci is hip hop.
But?
You know, Future is hip hop. Jeezy is hip hop. Even though I fuck with all of them. Don't get me wrong. But again, in my eyes, real hip hop is like niggas like M. You know what I mean? Like all the people that you named, to me, that's real hip hop. And them other niggas is like, okay, they kind of have their own lane. And I just say they're like trap rappers and like turn up music and all that shit. But again, to another nigga, that might be hip hop. And then what they think we think is hip hop, they might be like, oh, there's just some niggas who use big words and they just say shit and it's boring.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, I feel like there's real hip hop in Atlanta too. I mean, I think Ludacris is real hip hop.
I was just trying to shit on them. I was throwing out the extremes.
No, no, definitely, definitely. No, absolutely. But I also feel like regardless, in every area, you have extremes, right? Mm-hmm. You have Houston, where you have your Scarfaces. Yep. And you have
that nigga's hip hop.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, absolutely.
I'm sure to them and to us, that nigga's hip hop.
You know, you have Cali, where you have your Kendricks and your Games and your Dr. Dre's, you know,
Snoop.
And Snoop. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to say Tupac. I mean, Tupac was born in Harlem, but regardless.
Yeah, whatever.
Regardless, he's California. He's Cali. But, you know, you have your real hip hops in every region of the world.
Yeah.
But, again, it's your definition. It's like, you know, what do you, like, people consider Fetty Wap real hip-hop. Just because at the end of the day, it's rhythm to a song and it's words and it's like, oh, this is a good beat and he's telling his story. It's like, oh, that's hip-hop. That's what hip-hop is. Yeah. You can't put a definition
on
hip-hop. And
who are we to tell them what they think
is
hip-hop?
You can't tell nobody nothing. Yeah. Hip-hop is a culture, and it's like, I like to differentiate rap from hip-hop. Yeah. I like to always say, listen, like people are like, you a rapper? And I say, like, no, I'm an artist. I'm a hip hop artist. You know what I mean? Because I can rap and I lean towards rap. I lean towards just spitting. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I can make a song.
Yeah,
I feel like rappers, battle rappers, you know what I mean? Murder Mooks and Loaded Lux can kinda make a song.
He got a few joints.
Yeah, excuse me. He can kinda make a song, but I feel like rap is like battle rap. I'm just spitting. And I feel like hip hop artists are like Nas and Jay-Z, and you know, you making songs that literally change the culture.
You basically make subgenres
because
pretty much I do the same thing.
I mean, and I think there should be subgenres in hip hop, but
because it's become
it's a whole nother conversation.
That's just like rock, you know what I mean? They have like their grunge,
they got
heavy metal,
yeah. It's a whole nother.
So I think hip hop is pretty much doing the same thing.
It's a whole
nother
conversation
now,
because you got your rap, you got your trap music, you got your conscious rap. You have there's countless different types of hip hop.
And it's whatever you're into. You know what I mean? You can be into a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like that's me. I listen to a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? You don't know how many times I spoke about shit on like Facebook and I get niggas, you listen to that? I thought you were a real hip hop head. Fuck you. Like,
yeah,
don't
man.
Tell me what the fuck is real.
Yeah, man.
This
backpack
nigga.
This backpack rap. Yeah. There's all different types. And you know, it's a long conversation.
Listen, I just say, and again, we can end it here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you're a fan of good music, it's good music.
Yeah,
that's
man.
You know what
and
I mean?
My and my yeah, my answer is real hip hop matters, yes, and being authentic matters, yes. Those are my answers.
I'm with you with being authentic. And also, if you're portraying this character and you're tested for it and a nigga knock you the fuck out, they got all right to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Man.
So if a nigga runs up on stage and tells, you know what I mean, Slim Jesus he's not real and they smack him up and do and tell him to pull guns out and all that shit and he don't do it, hey nigga, that's what you're rapping about. Expect that shit to happen
to
you.
And that's what I was gonna say. Does the dude have the right to go up on stage and do that?
Nah,
man.
I don't think so.
Let him do his thing. There's fans that are there knowing. Look, all right, let me put it this way and then I'll stop. Yeah. If you're gonna rap about shooting people, killing people, mm-hmm. and then you get on an interview and you tell people, I don't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just making music. And then you go on tour and people still come.
Yeah.
Listen, man, they want to see it and you have the right to go up on stage and perform it.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody needs to go on stage and take nobody's mic. But you know what? At some hip hop, this is a competitive.
Yeah.
This is a competitive genre of music, man. This was born of something different than you're thinking it's born of. Yep. You know what I mean? This shit is born from competition. So yeah. At the end of the day, somebody come up and snatch your mic, you need to show them why they should never do that again.
Yeah.
Why they can never do that, never think of doing that.
Let me also just say, the nigga that snatched the mic from him took an L, because guess what? He paid to go there.
Oh yeah,
but hey, my nigga, you took an L. You gave this nigga money.
I don't know, because it looked like he been on stage with him. I don't know that guy.
Nah, it looked like he just hopped up. Like again, it was a quick clip, so we don't know. The nigga could
he was up there the
crowd
the whole time,
and jumped
though.
Up there.
But he was up there the whole video though.
It wasn't a long clip though. But
it wasn't. I would like to see long.
Yeah,
we have to see a longer clip
because it can't be like that's his man's and his man's just did that.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to think. Right, you're on tour. Mm. There's got to be security. There's got to be somebody there to step in and say, what
I'm
are you
sure
doing?
He's not doing big arenas either, nigga. Like, I'm sure he's like
not.
In a club and security's probably just sitting back like, somebody ran up on stage. Oh, okay. Because look, the nigga was on stage, was able to say all that and then put the mic down and walked away and security was still nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just weird. I don't know. I would like to see more of the video. But anyway.
All right.
Let us know what you think.
Real quick, because this will be the last thing we speak about. You heard us talk about Charlamagne and Jay Mills go back and forth last week. And then Mac Maine chimed in and pretty much said, you know, Charlamagne, I hope you say that when you see us face to face or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't have the exact tweet. But then Charlamagne brought up a great point when he put this tweet out. He goes, you can't even have a musical preference nowadays without people getting emotional. Which this will bring out another great question. If you're a fan of a person or a certain type of music, does that make you a dick rider? And also, if you say, man, I'm not really a big fan of this music, does that make you a hater?
So,
because nowadays, before you go, I'll let you go off. Nowadays, like on social media, niggas is quick to say, oh, you know, if you say, oh, I don't like this, this is trash, like with the Lil Wayne tape, niggas like, yo, you hater, you know what I mean? Fuck you, you know what I mean? You don't even need to be listening to this nigga. And then again, when niggas is like, yo, I really fuck with Kendrick, they're like, yo, you're a dick rider, B. Like, that nigga's not even all that nice, blase, blah. Like, you know what I mean? How do you feel about that, Jay?
So, yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, to society these days, if you are a fan of the underdog, you are a dick rider. Or if you're just a fan of the nigga who's winning, you're a dick rider. And if you don't like the nigga who's winning, you're a hater. And if you don't like the underdog, you're a hater. Like there's really no winning. You're in a catch 22. And the unfortunate fact of the matter is people don't value opinions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And you know, this goes back to the Billboard top 10. And it's not really about the Billboard top 10, but it kind of ties in because everybody has their top 10, their top five hip hop artists. And we've broken this down a million times. It all depends on your preference. The generation that you were born in, the region of the fucking world that you grew up in, and many other things. What are you going off of? Are you going off of numbers? Are you going off of lyricism? Are you going off of songwriting capability? Are you going off of hit records? Are you going off of the best videos? Are you going off of longevity? Are you going off of talent? Are you going off? What are you going off of? Are you going off of age? Are you going off of wordplay? Are you going off of who can spit the fastest? Like, you got to give us, if in order to have a top 10 that you can't, you literally cannot go off of anything but facts, you got to go off of a fact, you know, a category that can only be factual. Mm-hmm. So when you just say who's the top five MCs ever, what the fuck, man? Everybody's going to have different opinions.
It's going to be different.
Everybody's going to have different opinions, and nobody values anybody's opinion. And me, I am the type that I always value people's opinion. I may not agree with it, I don't agree with half of people's opinions half of the time. It might even be 80% of people's opinions. I'm like, that's bullshit in my mind. But I agree to disagree. Because at the end of the day, what else? What are you going to do next? Mm-hmm. What's next? All right, yeah. I disagree with you. What's next? We fighting?
You know what?
You're going to shoot me? You're going to slap me? What's going on? What do we do now? Yeah. Like, now we're here and we disagree. Now what?
Yeah.
Everybody's on Twitter. Fuck you, you hating ass nigga. Fuck no. Takeover was better than Ether. No, nigga. Ether was better. It's like, all right. Let's fucking stop here. Agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's artists in the game, aside from Biggie and Pac, Biggie and Pac weren't even really, really, really responsible for each other's deaths. But I'm saying, aside from Biggie and Pac, like, these artists in the game had real beef and, you know, niggas was stabbed, shot, and all that.
Yeah.
Shit got real aside from the music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for y'all to be this excited in a negative way, in a negative way, over an opinion of music that these motherfuckers is dying over, like, that really shows a lot of ignorance. Mm-hmm. Like, you are so wound up over me saying Eminem is the best artist. Like, holy shit, I'm not, you act like I'm in your house shoving Eminem albums down your throat. Like,
that nigga's time to wake up. Yeah. Real Slim Shady.
Yeah, like, my nigga, like, give me my opinion, because you got yours.
Yeah.
I don't have hip-hop arguments with people. No
you know more. What? I've actually been like Jay as of late.
I don't do it. I never did it. I see.
When it really hit me? I was watching JP go back and forth with some random nigga on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude just praised Lil Wayne, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. That's his favorite rapper.
Yeah.
And they were arguing about T.I. and Wayne.
Oh,
and
man.
I was going to put my two cents in. And then I sat back. I said, yo, what am I going to gain from this? You know what I mean? What did either of them, either JP and that other nigga, what did they gain from this? They just walked away tight. You know what I mean? They're mad. You know what I mean? Like, I'll argue with JP because at the end of the day, that's my man.
Yeah.
But, like, I won't argue with some other nigga out there because I'll tell you to suck my dick real quick.
Yeah, you can't argue with Joe Schmo because a suck my dick is going to come out so quick.
Yeah.
And it is a fight. Like,
And some shit's about to pop off.
Then I
want to
see you. Yeah,
and,
it's like, yo.
I've been through that on Twitter. So, like, now I fall back. You don't know how many times I come across, this person's better than this person. And blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, you know what? Nah, let me just sit back. I'll sit back and read what everybody has to say now. And Jay's been telling me to do that shit for the longest. Like, Jay will hit me on the low. Like, he'll send me like a private text and he'll be like, yo, my nigga, like, there's no ending to this. Like,
you love getting into it.
You know what? I do. But at the end of the day, like, I started realizing sometimes, nigga, like, it be taken away from my work. Like, next thing I know, I'm on my phone for a half an hour and now my work just fucking piled up. And I'm like, God damn it. You know what I mean? So, like, now, like, I sit back, I laugh, I look. You know what I mean? I don't even try to put my opinion in now because it don't fucking matter.
Yo, my phone was going off. I was at work and my phone was going. I got caught up in a whole conversation with a whole nother podcast about music.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I look at my phone and I'm tagged with 7 other people all giving their opinions over hip hop. And I literally don't think I may have had 3 or 4 responses. I would just respond like false.
And you know what's bad? Because all they did was they asked for people's opinion during the podcast. So I responded. I just said, hey, just to let you guys know, I was listening. You know what I mean? But I disagree with this subject, right? And I was just like, you know, keep doing your thing. And the next thing I know, the whole fucking podcast, it was me versus like all 5 of them. You know what I mean? And then what makes things worse is the next day, one of our mans tweeted them
on the same subject.
Shit. And then I was attached to it already because he was going off of my tweet. And next thing I know, them niggas is on my phone again. I'm like, God damn it, I'm a part of this shit again.
You know what it is? And one of the tweets that I particularly took attachment to was the dude said, blah, blah, blah. It's my opinion. Y'all are in the business of arguing with people. I read that tweet and I was like, you know what? When you ask somebody's opinion, you got to be ready for it to be something that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
So if you're going to ask what my opinion is and I don't agree with you and I give you an opinion that isn't necessarily something that you are down with, why are you Why am I arguing with
you? And then it's to the point. It's like, okay, you asked for this opinion. Yeah. Why are you getting mad?
Yeah.
When I'm saying, nah, I think you're wrong.
I'm so quick to just agree to disagree, man. Like, give me your side. You're going to tell me, yo, Vanilla Ice is better than Eminem. I'm going to say how so.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to say how so.
You give me your opinion. Point, like,
you,
all right.
You give me an opinion. I'll tell you you're bugging, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
And then if you tell me I'm bugging back, all right, there's no winning. Obviously, there's no winning.
Like, I just come to the point now that I'm just like, yo, you know what? There's no, again, everybody has their own opinion. They have their own kind of music that they like. Like, I used to argue all the time with Jay and JP, you know what I mean? Even Drew, you know what I mean? About J&M. You know what? Fuck it. I enjoy listening, and I enjoy listening to M. I don't want y'all to get that twisted either. You know what I mean? Because he's still in my top five. I just enjoy listening to Jay more. You guys enjoy listening to M, but you guys still enjoy listening to Jay.
Yeah.
So you know what? Fuck it. It's my opinion. It's your opinion. It's JP's opinion. It's y'all opinion. You know what I mean? There's no need to get caught up in it because I'm not going to let your opinion sway mine.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? Go home and listen to Jay-Z. Go home and listen to Vanilla Ice. Go home and listen to Juvenile, Trick Daddy, whoever the fuck your rap. All right. Fuck it. But I mean, shit, let a motherfucker have his opinion. And I'm asking y'all, we ask y'all the same thing. We want y'all to communicate and give us y'all opinions. And yeah, we might have a back and forth, a healthy back and forth. You know what I mean? But we're getting our points across. After you get your points across, all right, it's over. You know what I mean?
I just want to tell you, if you tell me to suck your dick, we're going to have to meet up.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me. Yeah. Don't get crazy on Twitter.
I'm just fucking with y'all, man. I don't need none of that shit in my life.
Don't get crazy. Nah, either way, don't get crazy on Twitter.
You know, just to finish this off, man, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, this whole Rick Ross thing? What else? How do you feel about what we just spoke about? You know what I mean? Do opinions matter? You know what I mean? Are you a dick rider? Are you a hater? Does it matter to be authentic in hip hop? What is your definition of what real hip hop is? You know what I mean? Just share it with us and let us know, man. I think we're going to cut it off there. We had a great, great conversations today, man. So I think we'll just cut it off here.
Yeah, I think we do a separate episode for The Walking Dead. Y'all know the finale just aired, so we're probably going to do a whole separate episode, so stay tuned for that. Other than that, you already know where to find us. Hit us up on Twitter, TOS podcast_SO. You know to get us on Facebook at facebook.com/officiallystreet, officiallystreet.com, soundcloud.com/officially-street. Sayer, plug yours.
If they want to send us email, it's officiallystreet@gmail.com. So, you know what I mean? If you guys want to just share your opinions with us, or if you just want to, you know, give us a shout out, big us up, whatever the case may be, we'll make sure that we show y'all love as well on the show. Hit us up there. My social media, everything is pretty much SireSO, except for Snapchat. If you want to get me on Snapchat, it's Sire_SO, and that's SYERSO.
Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, JOmegaSO. That's JAYOMEGA, the letter S, the letter O. And that's it. That's the Officially Street Podcast, episode 15, I think.
We out of here. Good.
Ow.
Bye.
Shout outs to all of my haters once they talk that shit. Shout outs to all of my haters that keep talking shit. Man, fuck them all. Fuck them all. Fuck them all, I say fuck them all, yeah. Gotta say fuck them all, if you would spread knees for this knuckleball. I got a wood pair of these, I can bust it all. Get it, wood pair, bust it all. okay, let's get back at it. Joey getting cracky, I'm sorting like a crack addict. Black on black, yeah, I caught a whip, black magic. Joey getting letters like a motherfucking bad rabbit. Whoa, chill, water these plants, ho, chill. I got these plans to make meals in advance and then tour the friends. Dog, chill, skill, chill. Niggas can touch the kid, so know who you fucking with. Too many haters on deck, SO. Be the set key hating low nigga, I'm the fucking kid. I said what up. Shout outs to all of my haters once they talk that shit. Shout outs to all of my haters that keep talking shit. Man, fuck them all. Fuck them all.